from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Apparently, I missed a very good time last night at the, what do we call it, the Odyssey Fantasy Draft? Was
yeah,
that
the
it?
Fantasy
That's
draft.
Correct, yeah.
Or the Fantasy Odyssey Draft?
The Odyssey Fantasy Football yeah. Draft, led by Commissioner Chris Mueller.
Yes.
Oh, boy. And who was the star of the show? What happened? What did I miss? Etc. Our team sucks.
Our team does not suck.
Yes, they do. We should have. I told you to draft Josh Allen.
You told me to draft Josh Allen in the first round. You
yes.
don't draft quarterbacks in the first
he's
round.
He's half running back. He's going to be a plus. They lost Diggs. He's going to be a one-man team. He's going to run.
Jordan
he's going to throw.
He's going to get nearly the same amount of points as Josh Allen does.
No, he isn't. It was a terrible pick. And then I told you to pick Deontay Johnson because I think Bryce Young is, I think Deontay Johnson's going to catch 100 balls this year. He was the steal of the draft. Doesn't mean I think he would be good here, but there I think he's going to be good.
Paul, I'm going to read you off our team, and I'm going to see your thoughts on it, okay? Or hear your thoughts on it. Jordan Love is our quarterback.
I like that.
This is also this is PPR, a 12-team league.
Okay.
DK Metcalf and Jalen Waddle are our wide receivers. My approach was to take the running backs early because there are no running backs later, once you get past, because we had the 12th and 13th pick.
Okay, okay. Metcalf and Jalen Waddle, Paul? Those are our starting receivers. They don't even.
Yeah, well, Jalen Waddle is.
Jalen Waddle is very good.
He's a number two receiver, except for us. He's a number one receiver.
He's a top 10 fantasy wide receiver.
Is he, Paul?
He is, yes.
Saquon Barkley and Kyren Williams are our running backs. Now, before you say something about Kyren Williams, he won me a fantasy championship last year when I picked him up and posted about 20 points a game. Evan Ingram is our tight end.
Oh, my God.
That is where, yeah,
tight
end is where
we fell apart. I told you to get Dalton Kincaid. So,
and here's the thing. You say 20 different players. Most of them were taken right before us. Like, literally two picks before us, the players that we wanted were taken right before us. Like, Deontay Johnson was taken one pick before us. Dalton Kincaid, two picks before us.
We're going to be a last-place team.
Aaron Jones and Rome Odunze are our flex players. And now this is where we go from value.
Rome wasn't built in a day. Neither was our football team.
Now, Ladd McConkey is one of our wide receivers.
I'd rather have Phil McConkey. Remember him, Paul?
Now, you on the show yesterday said, who is Justin Herbert going to throw to?
Right.
Ladd McConkey will be their number one wide receiver at some point this year.
So our top receivers are DK Metcalf, who has nobody around him. Probably nobody to throw him
the ball. Which is why they're going to throw him the ball. Geno Smith is going to throw him the ball.
Who's their backup in Seattle? Didn't they draft somebody?
Drew Lock.
Oh, they. Oh my God.
They might not win a lot of games, but Geno Smith slings it around.
Yeah, you're right, I guess.
And then our bench is Romeo Doubs, Adonai Mitchell, another rookie who's a buy low pick that could explode because a bunch of rookies, that's what happens. You buy low on them like Puka Nacua, and then they pop off. Tyler Conklin is our backup tight end. And we also picked Nick Chubb. That's a play for the future. Joe, you don't think he's going to play. I think he'll come back and be very good. And that'll be a play where middle of the year and into the playoffs, they go, huh, how about that Starkey and Austin City team that picked Nick Chubb late in the draft, got him for value for the second half of the season, because you can't think about just now. You got to think about the long game.
He's on the PUP list, right?
Correct.
Which means he can come back at some point.
He'll miss the first 4 weeks.
All right.
After that, it's fair game.
I don't
game.
Know, man. That injury last year, I love Nick Chubb, but that I can't imagine somebody at his point in his career, or maybe at any point in any career, bouncing back from one of the ugliest leg injuries I've ever seen. I don't know, Paul, but this guy over here, he's lovable, isn't he? The way he presented that.
He was over there. Oh no, you. Where were you sitting? You weren't sitting.
I was sitting with Joel Nelson.
Yeah, with Joel and those guys.
I was with Joel.
So do the producers
Sean Myers.
The
and
producers.
Seth.
You segregate yourselves then from the rest of the crew, like you hang
we
out.
Did not
with your,
mean to. Josh Roundtree originally sat with us, and then he left. He didn't want to be a part of the producer table anymore.
Joel, and those guys. That's the team I fear because those guys are, really into it.
Who, Jolie?
Joel and Joel. You know those guys. Yeah.
They
really
call themselves the basketball boys.
How was Malzi? Was he running a tight ship? Did he speak through a microphone like he was the MC, like he was Willy Wonka or something? What was he doing?
No, he just quietly at some points just stayed by his team. At some points he did yell out instructions.
I think he was reflecting on his game for his golf match from earlier in the day.
Was he good?
He seemed like he did okay.
Yeah, him and Kale. Somebody texts in, Joe is absolutely clueless to fantasy. Great team limits. He'd just draft all Buffalo players. I'm glad that the texter pointed this out because Joe wanted me to draft every Buffalo player imaginable. No. Josh Allen, first round. Dalton Kincaid. I'm surprised that the kicker and the defense wasn't in there as well.
No, I'm serious about Josh Allen, though. I think he's going to be the highest scoring player in that league because he's half running back.
Well, probably. Quarterbacks also always score very high. And the degree of points between Jordan Love and Josh Allen, I don't think is going to be that much. Jordan Love posted over 300 points last year.
Here's the other problem. Problems at home with golf. You just mentioned golf, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm being labeled a golf addict in my own house. And you know as well as me, our friend Myron Brown coined this phrase with me. He said, I can't play guilty golf. If I think I'm supposed to be somewhere else while I'm on the course, it affects me. Now all I play is guilty golf. It's no excuse. Believe me, I stink anyway. But every time I'm out there, I think I should be back doing some domestic chore. I can't play guilty golf.
Well,
I might have to quit.
That's where you have to basically draw a line. I mean, I'm not obviously... I'm obviously not a marital advice guy, other than don't do what I do. But I think one of the worst things that happens in marriage is you expect to be able to control the other person to do the things that you want them to do.
Yeah, and I want to play golf.
I would much rather you, if I'm with somebody, I'd much rather you do what you want to do and have fun and be in a good mood and all that other stuff. Now, can it be excessive? Yeah, but what you do isn't excessive. You take care of what you're supposed to take care of.
Yes. Well, now today we're supposed to play golf at Montour, and now I have a problem. And now even if I go, it's going to be guilty golf. I hate that feeling. I hate it.
Well, you'll be all right.
No, I won't. I want an 18-hole score. The best I can do now is show up on like hole 4 or 5. If I'm having a great score, you think he'll let me come back to 1, 2, and 3? Maybe I am a golf addict now that I hear myself talk out loud.
You're limits. Not. You just like to play golf.
Are you going to get
married? Why do you
married?
Have to be an addict?
I don't know. I know. I agree with you.
Just because you like to play golf, that makes you an addict?
Right. I mean, there are signs of addiction now that I think about it, but
I, mean,
I don't think it's affecting
it all
my
depends.
Home life.
You know, it all depends. You know, I mean.
It's better than most addictions, isn't it? It's just golf.
Well, any addiction per se is not great because it is something that controls you as opposed to you controlling it. The difference is some addictions are far more harmful than...
He's addicted to wiffle ball. Has anybody told you that?
No, not addicted, but
he enjoys
I'm definitely
it.
Passionate about it.
Yeah.
That's like me, you know?
With what?
I like to play poker. Does that make me an addict? No, because I can go weeks without playing. But I enjoy it. I enjoy the game of poker. I enjoy the psychological warfare that goes on. I enjoy trying to figure things out. I enjoy when you know, the competition of it. So I like to do it. It's something I like to do. And so what I'm trying to say is if it gets to a point where doing something controls your entire mind and your time and your, you know, everything else.
I do think a lot about good shots and bad ones, even when I'm away from
like
the course.
Golf.
I do like it.
Right.
I love it. Are you going to get married someday?
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah, next month, your invitation's in the mail.
Be careful.
Hey, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
So, if your daughter had a volleyball game Friday at 1 o'clock, and it was a big game.
Yeah.
And someone asked you to go play Laurel Valley, would you... I know you. You would say, no, I got to go to my daughter's game.
Absolutely not.
Exactly.
Even if it was a small, any game.
That's what I mean.
Any game.
My point is, that's what I mean. That's how I know you're not an addict, because you still do what you're supposed to do for your family. You still do what you're supposed to do for...
Of course. Now, the dispute today I was supposed to take her home from school. And I simply asked, can you find a ride home from school? That seems reasonable. Right?
I think so. I had a lot of friends that would drive me home from school.
Yes, she has friends. No, she said she can't. Yeah, she said she can't. She tried and she can't. I said, try harder. Is that a sign
maybe that's the problem.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the issue.
Well, no, I mean, my thing about it is, that is one thing when my kids were in school.
That's what sparked the fire.
But when my kids were in school, you know, I mean, I was working and I was, you know, doing so many different things, that this, that. Hey, you want to go to practice, you better figure out how to get there. They always figured it out.
Yeah. At some point, and there's a fine line here, but at some point, I'm being accused of, you're not going to pick up your own daughter from school to play golf. And my answer, quite frankly, is no, but now I have to. So,
but my point is, with my kids, I made it very clear, if you want to get somewhere.
Yeah.
I'll try and get you there, but if I can't and you want to get there, you better figure out how to get it right. And they always did.
I thought I did too. And then.
Especially since you pick her up almost every day, don't
yes.
you?
Yes. And then my wife stepped in and sided with her. Now it's two against one.
Here's where you screwed up.
And I'm an addict, taking time away from my family because I'm a golf addict.
Here's where you screwed up.
Where? Telling her?
It turned into a fight anyway, right?
Yeah.
You were both mad anyway, right?
Yeah.
So when she said to you, well, fine, I can leave work and get her, I just said, sold.
That would have been a great line, too.
Sold. Problem solved. Thank you so much.
But you know as well as me that that's then points on her ledger that she comes back with later saying, remember the time that I left work early when I'm so busy and picked up our daughter that you didn't pick up that day because of your golf addiction?
Yeah.
That's all I could see.
Well,
but you're right.
What I'm saying is
right.
It turned into a fight and she was mad at you and she's going to be mad no matter what. And she's mad that if you drop her off and then you're coming to golf, she's going to be mad about that. My point is,
that's a great point.
There are times when I felt like, you know, okay, you know what, I'm already in trouble.
Yeah.
I'm already gonna get the grief. So now I just don't give a rat's, you know what. I'm just gonna do what I gotta do, and then when I get home, I'll deal with it.
Sold would have been the line.
But that would have been my line.
Yeah.
As soon as she said, well, I'll just leave. Well, you know, like playing the martyr. That's a very and this is, you know, men and women do this, but it's a very manipulative tactic. I'm going to play the martyr now and try and, you know, make you feel like you're really a lowlife.
Yes.
I'm going to say, oh, well, you know, even though I've got 75 meetings at work and I've got to do this, and you know how hard it is and how stressful my job is.
Well, you're out on the golf course.
Well, you're going to go golf. I'm going to go. I don't worry. I'll leave. Come and pick her up.
Sold.
Sold.
They're all after me. Everybody's after me. Even Tony. Jackass Tony.
Sold.
I should have said that. Is it too low? Well, this should be an interesting day. Our tee time is 2:36. There still could be further developments here. Let's see.
Your tee time is always so close to the end of the show.
Don't
you worry about traffic?
Is that a sign of addiction?
You know how many...
No.
Rants we've had about traffic on this show, and
I
you're
know.
Not worried about traffic?
Well, that's
traffic?
A good time of the day.
You know how much traffic I faced this morning? Two different construction crews on my street at two different points.
But you come a different way.
He comes down the worst road.
That's what I mean.
In all of Pittsburgh.
My point
51.
Is 51.
Oh, my God.
We're
I go around it, and I can't go around it because another road
Whoever invented 51, go find the people who invented the road, if they're still alive, and tell them to start over. Rip the thing up and start over, Paul.
Yeah. Right.
You know? Like Heinz Field. Like Acrisure Stadium. Yeah. Start over.
Yes, absolutely. My point is, again, you're going to... You're going to lose the argument no matter what, so that's why when you might as well. That's a great idea. Sold. Thanks for solving my issue. See you tomorrow night.
Speaking of issues, and I love that take, the Cam Hayward issue is finally solved.
Yes.
And I'll be honest with you. As City Limits has a conversation with a salesman back there. I'll be honest with you. When I first saw it, I was like, Omar Khan caved to Cam Hayward. But then when you see the details, Paul, there's nothing guaranteed beyond this season.
Yeah.
So how can I have a problem with that? If he goes out and plus you cut your caps, if they want to go out and make a trade, you know, Devontae Adams is a guy who could be available around the deadline if the Raiders stink and he's starting to pipe up and get me out of here type stuff. I don't know. But you give yourself room this year. You have no commitment beyond this year. There's nothing not to like about it. Really.
I mean, I think it solves a lot of problems. You know, now that Cam Hayward's happy, he's going to be here for at least this year, if not beyond.
Yeah,
he got a little bit. Didn't he get a little extra money? I think for this year, it freed up some salary cap space this year. It allows them if they want to go next year and decide to cut him or not, whatever. They don't have to make a decision based on money.
Exactly. I just don't see, and I saw a lot of social media reaction, but I do understand some of it because at first blush, these contracts are hard to understand.
Right.
With all their ramifications. You see the money. You see that it's the biggest contract ever doled out to a defensive player or maybe lineman, I can't remember which, 35 or older. And you're like, what the hell are they doing? But then you see that they're not on the hook, actually, after this season. And it makes all the sense in the world. If he comes in and plays great, and I hope he does, and I still think that's very possible, then you have him next year and the year after. Who knows? Maybe Cam, you know, continues to or comes back to an all-pro level. And then if he doesn't, and I think that's probably a decent bet, too, unfortunately, because of his age and the wear and tear, the way he's played the game, the surgeries he's coming off of, obviously that's a possibility, then you're free and clear. And that could still maybe get ugly, as it often does at the end of careers. See Troy Polamalu, Franco Harris, Ben, and, you know, as legendary Steelers as you can find whose careers have ended with a little bit of acrimony. Limits your thought on the Cam Hayward extension.
I love it, and especially because a lot of the conversation, Joe and Paul, at the start of this was, is Cam Hayward going to get maybe $20 million? And that wasn't even shown whatsoever in this contract, and a lot of it being guaranteed in the front end. I like it. 3 years is a good number, but the Steelers can get out of it. If Cam Hayward performs, it benefits him. It seems like a win-win deal for both sides.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And it's beneficial for the Steelers because they can still cut ties if need be, as painful as that might be for Cam Hayward.
412-928-9370.
I read a really good breakdown of it, right?
Yeah.
Of this whole thing. So he had been owed $16 million in salary for 2024. So they're going to convert that to a signing bonus. And then the signing bonus will be spread out over 3 years for salary cap purposes. It reduces his cap hit this year from $25 million to $15 million. So for 2024, Hayward won't receive any additional money compared to what he was owed. His salary was not guaranteed. And now it will be, though that matters little. The Steelers were not going to cut him this year. So they guaranteed him this year. The two additional years carry no guarantees.
That's all I need to know.
And so
that's it.
Yeah.
That's the end of the story for me.
If Hayward plays to a level, you know what I mean, that is agreed value of up to $14.5 million. So in other words, if Hayward goes out and has 20 sacks and wins Defensive Player of the Year, guess what?
Then you probably got a bargain.
You got a bargain.
Because that's not a top
salary. Yeah, you just need him to be, you know, reasonably good. And if he's reasonably good, you're probably going to be paying him his market value.
Yeah, and for a lot of people, it's important that he doesn't play anywhere else, and this assures that. If he's good, he's here, period. If he's bad, well, we can have that conversation on another day. 928-9370. Wonder Twin, did you give me the reads today? I can't find them. If you did, I've misplaced them, which makes me very sad.
I will see if they've been misplaced at the printer.
Off the Top, presented by JP Don't leave yet. Presented by JP Roofing and Siding. Oh boy, are we lined up with treats today. We have Brooke Pryor at 11:40. We have the quiz show at noon. We have the big boy, Mark Cabali, at 12:40, and Dan Zangrilli in studio at 1. Up next, Paul, this game, this matchup with the Falcons really has me sort of flummoxed. I don't know which way to go. We're going to talk about that next. Which way do we think this game will go? I saw on Pro Football Focus, love him or hate him, this guy who texted us yesterday saying, how can you even broach the subject that the Falcons might have a better roster? No football person would say that. Well, Pro Football Focus is the latest to lay it all out and say the Falcons have a better roster than the Steelers. A better roster. Let's just talk about it now for a minute. Here's my problem with the Falcons, Paul.
Yes.
They've got firepower up and down. What I didn't realize was that the strength of their team last season was their run defense. Their biggest strength, and they've only added to it. They've only added to it. It says right here in front of me. They seem to be a great matchup for the Steelers. I mean, for them. I mean, the Steelers seem to be a great matchup for them. Stop the Steeler run. We have explosive weapons, but here's the problem. I don't trust them. I don't trust them because they're the Atlanta Falcons. So my brain could be telling me, here's 10 reasons why the Falcons should win this game, and I still don't trust them.
I would agree with that. It's the Falcons. But the more I've analyzed this game, the more I kind of feel like I don't think we were that far off yesterday saying that they might have a better roster than the Steelers.
Yeah.
They might actually have a better roster. I mean, I like their skill position players better. I like their offensive line better. I mean, Kirk Cousins, in case I didn't make it clear yesterday, Kirk Cousins stinks. But I think that it's important to note that, you know, he's capable of having big games from time to time. You know, he's had some games where he's thrown 3-4 touchdowns and 300-400 yards.
I'm trying to, yes,
so
exactly.
My point is, but he's still Kirk Cousins. I just can't take him seriously.
I hear that. I'm trying to picture in my mind, as we all do, as the week drags on, how is this game going to unfold? And I keep coming around to the most realistic vision I'm having is that the Steelers' defense smashes them up early in the season, while they're healthy, while they're primed here, T.J. Watt, Minka, Highsmith, Cam, Benton, Ogunjobi before he gets nicked up, before he starts to become inconsistent, all that. We've seen it. We've seen it early in years against offenses and quarterbacks better than the Falcons and Kirk Cousins.
Right.
I just, that's, I have many visions for that. I have another vision, by the way, that this could be last year's Texans game, where a team with some with a quarterback who can sling it and some pretty good weapons destroys the Steelers.
Yeah.
Like, I could see a 37-13 Falcons win. I could. But that's not the dominant vision, Paul. The dominant one. Listen, bottom line, whatever we talk about with the Steelers, and we're going to talk about it endlessly, there's a lot of ways to look at the season. It's about Russell Wilson in many ways, blah, blah, blah. All that's true. They have maybe the most valuable player in the NFL outside of quarterbacks, and that's TJ Watt, a guy who, when he's healthy and his destructive self, wins them games. And I have no reason to believe he's not going to be healthy and destructive on Sunday. He's that great. So that's my vision right now. The dominant vision is a destructive Steelers defense and an unblockable TJ Watt against an immobile Kirk Cousins.
That's what we were talking about yesterday, right?
Yeah, and Highsmith, and Herbig, and Benton, and Hayward.
It's just one of those things where when you've got a defense that is predicated on hitting the quarterback and getting to the quarterback, it sure helps when the quarterback is not very mobile and he's just sort of a sitting duck back there.
And there's not many ducks that are sitting more than he is going into the season. We don't even know what's he going to look like. I mean, that's not a small injury, the old Achilles. What's he going to look like? I am also curious, by the way, as to whether there's any lingering calf issues with Russell Wilson, because a big part of his game is moving around. We'll see what he looks like. But that's my vision. There's many visions going into this game, many scenarios that I could buy if you tried to sell me on it. But the bottom line for me is two-pronged. TJ Watt and a healthy, rested, early in the season, destructive Steeler defense. And I don't trust the Atlanta Falcons because they're the Atlanta Falcons.
Exactly.
Those are the two thoughts.
Exactly. I don't trust the Atlanta. That's the larger issue to me, okay, is that it's the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah.
They're just one of those teams that's hard to take seriously.
Right.
When I strip that away, though, I look at it and say, boy, they've got some really dangerous players. If their quarterback can figure it out a little bit, they can be really pretty scary.
Yeah, and the other thing is, again, I wasn't aware that their run defense was as good as it was. This labels them. This says they had an elite run defense last year.
Yeah.
Second to Miami in team run defense grade. Ninth in yards per attempt. And they added more run defenders in the draft. So you know they're going to line up and gird themselves for a Steeler team that wants to dominate physically. And I'm not sure they're capable of it. But we saw early last season, the Steelers' offense can literally do nothing or even be negative, and the defense can win them a game in the right state. Consider last year's Cleveland home game. Consider that last year, after two or three games, the Steelers' defense was outscoring their offense. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, I think that, you know, they changed their offense. They brought in a new offensive coordinator. They got a quarterback. They did all that kind of stuff so that they didn't have to play that way. But I feel like they're going to have to play that way early, at least early in the season, until the offensive line figures it out a little bit. You know, maybe they kind of develop a rapport with the second and third receiving options, whoever that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just feel like they're probably going to have to play that way still early in the season a little bit.
Yeah.
They're probably going to have to, okay.
Just don't screw it up.
Well, don't put the defense in bad situations and let the defense dictate the game. And you hope that in doing that, you've got TJ Watt making a strip sack, or, you know, Joey Porter or making a big interception and, you know, returning it into, you know, deep into Falcons territory, or whatever. You get those kind of plays.
I think it's a legitimate question this week. Will the Steelers' defense outscore the offense like they did in a couple of games early last season? I'm serious about that.
Right.
Your vision. What is your vision? Close your eyes. Do whatever meditation you have to. Well, not while you're driving. Whatever meditation you have to do. And conjure a vision for how this game goes. It's really tough, especially early in the season, to do that, right? Because week one is filled with misdirection plays, if you will, like things that'll have nothing to do with what's going on in October even or November. It's weird results sometimes in week one, quarterbacks, teams that haven't played a lot in the preseason, all of that.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.